Matthew chapter 1. We read these words, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew chapter 7. What did I say?
Chapter 1.
Oh, well.
He said it right. You just all heard it wrong.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. So now, what were you just thinking about me? What were you thinking about me? Boy, you talk about being apropos. Another big word you didn't know I knew, did you? Tim, you have confidence in me. You figured I knew word.
Yes, sir.
All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? The mote's the little splinter, and the beam is the big stick that's in your own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little splinter there that's in your eye, and behold, you got this great big limb in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So when the Lord gives us that, he acknowledges that the person is wanting good for the one. He's just going about doing it in the wrong way. And he's getting his own life in order. Then he can actually help the other person. So the Lord's giving credit to an individual, even when that individual is woefully off. Think about this. Some years ago, a woman was waiting for an airplane. She went into an airport shop and bought a bag full of cookies and sat down in the terminal waiting for her plane to be called. Soon a man came and sat down beside her. The cookies were in between the two of them, unopened. The man reached over and opened the cookies, took one out, began to eat it. And she thought, what unmitigated gall and nerve that he would do that. In response, she reached in, got one, and ate it herself and gave him a dirty look. He just smiled, then reached in and got another. And they traded back and forth, taking cookies out of the bag until there was just one left in the bottom. With a smile, he broke it in half, took one half, and left the other half. She thought as she got on the airplane, I've never seen a person as arrogant as that man. Then she opened her purse and there was her bag of cookies unopened. Now you know why I believe God took the message I made this morning and set it aside. Sometimes we judge other people because of our sheer ignorance. Romans 14:4, if you'll turn to it. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Romans 14 and verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. It's not our job to judge another. And even if we do, his master can still keep that guy held up because he's the man's master. Another reason we unmercifully judge other people and fail to tolerate them is that we're insensitive. We don't love as we ought. That's because our understanding of love or our application of love is limited. There are many interactions that we can have with another person, and we would not think that we need to bring the subject of love into this interaction. We're just on a basic people-to-people situation. No, love comes into play. But Jesus did not condemn. He is the master of so many, and he can hold them up, and Jesus did not condemn. As a matter of fact, following John 3:16, which we all know so well, is verse 17, which says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Our task is not to condemn people, but to try to reach them for God Almighty. When was there a time that you assumed the worst about another person, but later found out you were wrong? Well, since I don't know what it is that might be going through your mind now, and since it would not be for me to tell everybody what's going through your mind, let me tell you what went through my mind when I read this online devotional that I just shared with you. As a matter of fact, I read this online devotional about the cookies and the lady, and I thought, oh, wow. And it wasn't until the Lord brought me in that devotional to this place where the question was asked, when was there a time you assumed the worst about another person but found out you were wrong? When I read that question in the devotional, here's what came to my mind. Let me tell you about myself at Aldi's several weeks ago. Might be a couple months. I had just one item. I only had to get one item, a pack of those. It's a round container, sort of cone-shaped cherub grape tomatoes. Pat just loves them. She doesn't eat a bunch of candy like I do, so we get her those. As a matter of fact, we had been getting a different grape tomato at Aldi's, and they were all out of it, so I thought, well, I'll get these for her. And she says, my goodness, they're a whole lot better. But they're 50 cents more. But you know, if somebody's dog can be worth the 21 cents more a day for the blue dog food. Okay, I can tell who doesn't have TV because you don't see the commercial. One lady comes home and she opens her hatch lid and pulls out a bag of blue dog food. And I don't know if there's more to the name, but blue dog food. And the neighbor man, he opens his hatch and he pulls out Purina or some other brand. And he says, oh, you feed your dog that stuff? Oh, cat food, okay. You feed your cat that food? She said, yeah. He said, isn't that rather expensive? And she said, you know, I did the math, and it's only 21 cents a day more. I think my cat's worth it. So he turns and looks in the window where his funny-looking cat's sitting and saying, boo-boo, from now on, you're eating blue. So when Pat said, boy, they're a whole lot better, I figured she's worth 50 cents more. Well, Aldi's is not a place to go when you're in a hurry. I know that, but I'm also cheap. Because those grape tomatoes at Walmart can be as much as 75 cents more than the ones at Aldi's. Now I'm already paying 50 cents more. And so if I were to add 75, that could be a dollar and a quarter more. So I'll go in and just grumble my way through the line. Well, the man ahead of me had a full cart. I mean, full. Often when this happens, the person that's ahead with a full cart will see the person behind. That happened to me on Monday. A lady who was ahead of me saw that I had just three items. She said, "Is that all you got?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "You may go ahead of me." I said, "Really? I appreciate that. Thank you very much." And I was sincerely appreciative. Well, this man, he didn't say anything. Not this guy. And he was an old guy. You know, I should have known better. He was in his mid to late 70s. Randy remembers. How old am I, Randy? No, he doesn't remember. Wow. 78. He came up after the service that I stated that, and he said, "Are you really 78? And so, yeah, I am. But this fella, you know, I thought for sure he'd have said, "Is that all you got? You can go ahead of me." But he didn't, so I stood and waited while he emptied his cart, while they checked it out. You know, they're fast there at Aldi's. And there was a case of water underneath the cart, and he bent over to start. It was all the way at the back end of it. So I saw this situation, so I bent down, picked it up, put it on the conveyor belt for him, and I felt pretty good, you know. I, in spite of him not letting me go ahead, I was nice to him. A little bit of self-righteousness coming in there. You note that? Yeah. But it was easier for me to get it. And he was very appreciative. He could not thank me enough. Well, the belt was now empty, so I set my container of tomatoes on the belt. He said to me, with a broken English, "Is that all you have?" I said, "Yes." And he said to the cashier, "Put that on my bill. Put that on my bill." And she had already totaled it. So she had to call the manager, get him up to do what he does. Okay. And he just patiently stood there. And then the manager did his thing. My tomatoes were added to it. And I said to him, "Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that." He said, "Thank you for getting my water. That was very kind of you." You see, what that matter revealed is that he had not seen that I only had one item. When I set it on the belt and it moved up there, and he said, "Is that all you have?" I realized he was not being inconsiderate. He just didn't see what I had. But I judged him anyway, didn't I? And I did that judgment in ignorance. I assumed something that was not so. So he paid the bill, and I objected to it when he said, "Put it on my bill." I said, "You don't have to do that." And after he paid the bill, which included my tomatoes, he again gratefully thanked me for getting the water from the bottom of the cart, which was really hardly anything to be as expressive about as what he was. And immediately I saw what the Lord was teaching me, and I thanked the Lord. When I got home, I told Pat, and she just smiled and said, "Yeah, God has his ways, doesn't he?" Then I was, and even now, telling again of this happening, I'm ashamed of my un-Christ-like manner. Impatient with a murmuring and grumbling inside of me. Do you know what else I was? I was a practical atheist.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to share with you the second of the online daily devotional readings. I don't read them every day. Some days I just have too many other things going on, so I just delete them. But today I read these two. And when I read this second devotional, I thought this needs to be shared. Because I had already been impressed about the story of the lady with the bag of cookies, remembering my own judgmental spirit and heart when here was that old man who I judged wrongly. When I read this second devotional, I set aside what I had prepared, and I had prepared it this morning. It was not a matter of I didn't have anything to use. Oh, praise God, I got something now. No, I had something.
Amen.
But I decided this needs to be shared. I can use that other thing another Wednesday night. Now, it was bad enough that I wrongly judged the actions and character of that man with the full cart. But this afternoon, when I read this devotional, I found that I was a practical, was a practical atheist. Now, that is something I never would have considered myself to be a practical atheist. You see, this other devotional said that many people though they are professing Christians, and I use that word professing in the sense that they're genuine Christians, they claim to be Christians and they know Jesus as their Savior, but they don't always live by the truths that he teaches and by the principles of Scripture. Sometimes it's things they say, sometimes it's things they do, but they're not things that are said and done the way Jesus would be teaching us. And when I read how the devotional writer said they are a practical atheist. They talk, they live, they think as if there were no God. I hung my head. And I said, Lord, that's how I acted at Aldi's. It was maybe 8-10 weeks before, but that's what I remembered. That's how I acted. I was a practical atheist. And I said, God, this should not be so. This needs to change. And it's obvious I don't have the ability to change it. Because that wasn't the only incident in which I would have been acting or thinking, and it wasn't the way you've taught. So that's when I decided I would bring it. And I would share it with you. If God can use it to help you, if God can use it to make a difference in your life, then my sharing it will be of benefit. Is it something that I like to share? No, I don't like telling you my failures. I don't like admitting that I, who stand up here representing God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who preaches to you the holy truths of the Bible, I don't like standing up here. The devil says, yeah, you better not share that. You might just destroy the confidence people have in you. And I thought, you know, that's true. That might be the outcome. I had the victory on that one because I said, no, devil, I'm going to share it. Because maybe if people see that those who care for their souls have similar weaknesses, you've heard our pastor, you've heard others who have stood in this pulpit tell us that they struggle with this, they struggle with that. They just don't have the particular setting at the time they make that statement to evidence it to you. But I have the opportunity in what I believe, truly believe God gave me by way of a message. And that is, let God, I need, let God to lead us. And then do what's right. You know, when I was in the line at Aldi's, guy behind me, he said, oh man, I always do this. I always pick the line when there's somebody with a full cart in front of me. You've done that too, same as I have. And I said, well, yeah, but everybody has to get food. Yeah, but why do they have to get it in my line? That guy wasn't saved. That guy wasn't born again. So how do you know that? Because 99.9% out of 10 that you meet are not born again. You say, there is no such equation. Yeah, there is. Don't tell me. I'm the math whiz. No, you see, I had just acted with the same attitude as that guy behind me, who I tried then to encourage and to help. A good one am I, huh? To try and help him. When I, inside, was grumbling and complaining that this old man ahead of me didn't let me go first. That's one old man to another old man. Oh, God Almighty in heaven, thank you. Thank you for what you use to teach us. Thank you for the ways that you choose to show us ourselves. Show me myself. And I pray that you would help us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Help me, Father, not only to learn from this experience at all these, but help me to not repeat it. Help me to have a victory of living in the way that would please you, so that I would be known as a practical Christian, not a practical atheist. Now these things I pray in Jesus' name.